their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
It's good to have you back with us this week. And while you are listening to this, we are most likely photographing sloths and birds in Panama.
That's what we're hoping for.
So we don't always record live, you know. No, we're live. We're live now, but we're not live to you. Whatever that means. The past hasn't happened yet. The future is not. I don't know where we are. Rewind the tape and we'll make it all happen. There's a Spaceballs reference in there somewhere. What are we going to talk about this week, Rick?
Well, we're going to talk about a set of post-processing tools that are extremely useful, but are a little bit of a mystery to a lot of people. Back when we were up in Badlands recently, I got some questions from a couple people on some of these tools, so mm-hmm. thought we'd talk about them. And specifically, we're going to focus on the texture tool and the clarity tool, and those are using Lightroom terms. You'll find them in other programs. Usually clarity is what it's called everywhere. Mm-hmm. The texture one is sometimes called structure, mm-hmm. But it does basically the same thing. And we'll kind of relate these to sharpening and maybe even talk a little bit about dehaze also, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of a cousin, but kind of different too. But these are useful tools.
They're very useful tools. And you know, if you're in Lightroom, these are all in the presence group on the basic panel. Other programs might have them in different places too. I remember early versions of Lightroom, you know, clarity was the only slider you had. And then they've added in dehaze. And then more recently, they added in texture. But all these tools, every one of those sliders has effects on contrast and in some cases color and black points and things like that. And I think what happens for a lot of people is you move these around. And they're obviously very easy to overdo. Over crank the clarity, and the next thing you know, you're in a bleach bypass kind of filter look, which you know can be useful, but these are contrast-based adjustments, and you know they can be used creatively in a lot of different ways, especially when you get outside of the global application and start using them with brushes or gradients or some selective approach. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of different ones, but each one operates kind of on a different scale, right? I mean, you've got, you know. And of the three, texture and clarity are the most similar. And dehaze is its own animal.
Yeah. And I think it's good to think about these on a spectrum, mm-hmm. where one end of the spectrum is sharpening.
Right.
Which is a contrast thing too. It just finds edges, pumps up the contrast along those edges, and that's how sharpening works. And you can vary it a little bit. Texture is same thing, only think of it as being a little bit larger scale mm-hmm. than sharpening. So you're trying to bring out details or suppress them. We'll talk about negative directions on these mm-hmm. tools in a little. Things that are a little bit larger. It could be like the texture of an Adobe wall. Or when you're talking about negative directions and taking out things, it could be like the texture in someone's the skin of their face.
Right.
And then clarity is even a little bit bigger. Think about larger objects and bringing out those shapes. Mm-hmm. But they're all kind of on that spectrum. And then dehaze, like you said, we'll talk about a little bit later. It's right. a little bit like clarity, but it's doing some other things too.
Well. This is really useful. You mentioned sharpening, and it's really important, especially with Lightroom, because you know one of my sort of beefs with Lightroom early on was that the detail slide, the detail panel, which is where you have the sharpening, you know, you've got your radius, your traditional sharpening radius setting, and you know, the detail slider there, you know, for the finest details. You can only set that once in your image. Like, you can apply it globally, but those settings are also applied to your local tool, that sharpness slider that's in your brush. It is using the same parameters that is pulled from whatever you've set in the detail panel, which meant there were certain tricks that you could do with other tools or Photoshop where you might use unsharp mask, you larger radius sharpening, those kinds of things that you couldn't really do with Lightroom, just the detail panel alone. The clarity and now the texture sliders give us that control to go and look at your sharpening and your enhancement in a different way than you would have been if you just had one tool. So you still can use your detail panel settings to bring out the finer details in images, you know, the small to very fine. And then you can augment that by going texture and clarity. And this is super useful, not in a global direction, but in a local direction. And one of the things that I love to do is just to grab a brush, you know, like say you've got the eye of an animal or feathers on a bird, you know, whatever, fur on an animal, or even just rocks, you know, and paint in that extra detail, whether it's adding sharpening or adding in texture or adding in a little bit of clarity. And what I find is that you don't need much. I mean, most of the time settings are, you know, 10 to 15 is plenty for most of these things. I mean, you can go higher, but most of the time when you just apply it with your brush tool, it's really useful. And now you have that multi-size sharpening effect where you have one tool that brings out medium to larger details, one that brings out small details, and one, the details, sharpness, that brings out the finest possible details.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's super handy.
Yeah, and just thinking about some of the shooting that we were doing recently can be a good way to talk about some of these effects and how to use them creatively. You know, for example, when we were in the Badlands, we were photographing a lot of rock from relatively close, and let's just say stuff that's kind of like sandstone in a way, where you have a nice texture to it, and it wears through interaction with water, so you can have the equivalent of little water channels through it. And if you're shooting that down low and close, texture can be a nice way to really bring out that texture that's in the rock
literally.
Or the sand. Yeah, literally. I mean, there's a reason it was named that. And it's not going to be something that just hits you over the head with how strong of effect it is. It's a little bit more subtle, but it's very useful and very nice. The interesting thing with texture is when Adobe created that one, it was not for that purpose.
Right.
It was actually the opposite, which had to do with smoothing out skin. And so their original intent was something that aligns with what's now the negative direction on the texture slider, where it introduces a very gentle blur. It's not an extreme blur. It's not something that creates instant bokeh or stuff like that, but it just smooths out the skin or things analogous, you know, where you want a smooth wall as opposed to something that's got texture in it. So both directions, positive and negative, you know, work well.
Well, and that's something we've brought up in the past, but it's certainly worth repeating, and that is these sliders do have a negative direction. All of them do. We haven't talked about dehaze yet, but they all have a negative operation. And with the texture and the clarity, they create smoothing. And again, most of the time, you're not going to use this globally. But I've used it in ways, the negative direction, to smooth things out. Why? Well, maybe there's water and you want to emphasize mm-hmm. negative space, and you just need to smooth it out a little bit, mm-hmm. to diminish it, to make it less distracting. You mentioned smoothing out, wrinkles and skin and stuff. That's an obvious thing. And again, you would do that locally. You would do that with a brush. You would not do that with the global slider. But you can also use texture and clarity as ways to smooth out noise, because it is adding a blur. It's softening those areas. So sometimes you might find yourself with a sky that's got a little bit of grain in it. And what can you do? Well, you can just use a little negative clarity or a little texture, in addition to possibly reducing the sharpness value and adding noise reduction if you need to. There's ways to do this that get you beyond just the standard noise reduction slider globally, or the noise right. reduction slider just locally. There's lots of different ways where you can fine tune the look to enhance or diminish areas in your image. One thing I'll just throw in there, because even though it's not in this panel, but I mentioned the sharpness slider. When you use the sharpness slider, at least in Lightroom locally, and you start moving it in the negative direction, minus 50 zeroes out whatever your global detail sharpening was. At least that's how it used to work. And when mm-hmm. you go beyond minus 50 in the negative direction, so minus 60, minus 100, it actually creates a Gaussian blur. And so you can add blur with the sharpness slider locally in Lightroom. So there's lots of ways to get creative with that. And I think they're kind of hidden, because most people just look at these in the global sense.
Yeah. Now if we step up one more to clarity, mm-hmm. like we were talking about, think larger scale objects or mm-hmm. structures. And some of the things that I find it works really well on are man-made objects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Architecture. It uh-huh. can work really nicely. Just add some punch to all the lines and shapes. Another one would be things like cars, metallic objects, machinery. All of those things can sometimes benefit from a touch of clarity. And you can go to extreme amounts if you really want that. Now, mm-hmm. slightly passe, grungy look.
Right.
That's a way of achieving it for sure. When I use it, I don't typically use a lot. If I'm using it in a more natural scene, maybe 10, something like that, mm-hmm. Just to add a little punch to the scene. But for, man-made stuff like we were talking about machinery, you can go, fairly high, 40, 50, maybe even a little bit more, depending on how strong of effect you want. Architectural stuff, somewhere in between.
And also, just to point out that if you use it with, say, a brush tool, you mm-hmm. can get away with higher amounts, because you're exactly. only applying it to where you want. The classic example I see is bad stuff, where it's like, whether it's clarity or in the NIC programs, it's the structure slider. And then all of a sudden your skies start looking crunchy, your clouds, and you get halos mm-hmm. around clouds. That's not a good look. I see it a lot. And unless you're really going for that super stylized look, and I guess some people like it, I'm just not a huge fan. I mean, I'm guilty of doing that early on with HDR stuff, but it was learning how to avoid that.
Sure.
So applying your clarity or structure in with a brush, you can get away with stronger settings when you just apply it to local areas on your image.
Yeah. And then similar with texture, those negative amounts can be helpful. And again, using it on a local basis, mm-hmm. I found it useful if I'm shooting with a lens that has slightly ratty bokeh, where it's a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
I can paint it into the out of focus area, and it'll just smooth out the edges a little bit. You got to be careful about using too much or to look artificial, but a bit can be quite useful and nice.
Absolutely. Now,
thing is, if the lens isn't the best, if it's a cheaper lens, and we were talking about some cheaper lenses in last week's podcast that were recent announcements. sometimes a little bit of clarity with those cheaper lenses when they're shot wide open can help. It just brings back a little punch. Just don't use too much.
And that brings us to the last where I was going to go, which is the last slider for completeness sake.
Mm-hmm.
The dehaze slider in Lightroom, at least, is also in this presence group, and it affects contrast on a much, much larger scale. You know, we're not bringing out details in any way. You know, it was designed to cut through haze. You know, that's the idea. And again, most of the time you might use this globally, and again in small amounts. It can help with that same situation where it can help in small doses. It can help just give a little bit better overall, reduce that milkiness that you sometimes get with softer lenses when they're shot wide open. It can improve it. But dehaze is going to do things to the color. It certainly ramps up blues. It changes your black point. You've got to be careful with it. And in the negative direction, it almost makes fog. It's kind of cool.
It very much does. Yeah.
So that's not something that you would normally want to do. But if you're doing sort of going for this, you know, I could see it with you're looking for a ethereal high key kind of look, and you can use some negative dehaze. But also you can use it locally as well to just see what it does, because it can bring out colors in ways that you didn't expect.
That's one of the really big differences. Detail. Yeah, that's one of the big differences between it and clarity is what it will do with colors, where it'll punch up the colors more so. And if you think about it being intended for removing haze in the scene, it makes sense, because you typically find that the colors are kind of faded out.
Right.
So.
And so it's more of a large scale contrast lighter. What I find myself doing with it too is I'll play around with dehaze as an alternative to the regular contrast slider, and just see what I can get by going back and forth with those. It can sometimes help an image. But with all of these, they're there, and I think they just get overlooked a lot, and they really become powerful and useful, not just for correcting images, but just creative application. When you consider that, especially when it comes to images with detail, rarely do you find an image that has a uniform style of detail. You have images where you've got in focus areas where that might have lots of fine detail. The shapes might require a different kind of detail enhancement or reduction. And then you've got out of focus areas where you don't want to do too much detail. In fact, you might want to diminish that. And so that approach to, you know, whether you want to call it sharpening or detail and contrast enhancement, they're all kind of different ways of describing the same process. It's really useful to have all those things. You're not stuck with a one size fits all global slider that you're always compromising on. That's my take.
Right.
So again, these tools, if you're not using Lightroom, they will often have different names, but you will find variants of them across a variety of products. Not all of the products have the negative direction either. So for example, you might get a clarity or a structure tool, but it only goes in the positive direction depending on the software that you're using.
One thing I've mentioned before, but since we're talking about dehaze, I'll mention it again. The Capture One implementation of dehaze is really, really good. It works a lot like the Lightroom one. However, you also have the option using an eyedropper to tell it what color the haze is, you know, where is it out in the scene. Mm. And that actually has more of an effect than you would think. And what I've found is that this is one of those times I use Capture One. Generally, I just use Lightroom. But with some natural scenes involving haze and the smoke that we have recently, being able to tell it what color the haze is allows you to use stronger amounts of it and really cut through that haze and get something that looks normal, as opposed to that too much dehaze effect, which quickly crops up when used globally. So the Capture One tool can be used globally to a greater extent than the Lightroom one. Just kind of a nice thing, and hopefully Lightroom will end up with a similar option as Capture One has at some point. They tend to go back and forth in terms of who's got the latest tool.
Right. Well, we all have options, and it's good. But I think if you haven't, I guess the take-home message is, if you haven't explored these tools in a localized manner using brushes, you're missing out on a lot of the power of these tools. They're generally good, but they're very easy to overdo when you use them globally. They all of a sudden your image just looks ratty and it's just crunchy. It's not good. But consider using them with the local implementation, brushes, gradients, whatever. And all of a sudden you can do some wonderful stuff.
And experimentation is a great thing to do. Find an image and I think initially don't even worry about local versus global. Just drag the sliders up quite a bit and then down quite a bit and see what happens. They'll all look different and you'll get a sense for what they're
right,
what they do to your image.
And when you see it improving areas, that's where you know you can paint it in. And where you see it making it worse, you know to leave those areas alone. That's what I do. It's experimentation using the global slider and then actual implementation using a local adjustment. That's typically what I'll do, because I want to preview the effect first, so see if it's worthwhile going into it. That's the nice thing about the software we have these days. You can do it all and undo it. It's great. Yep. Okay, well, hopefully you've enjoyed this episode, and we will be back again next week with more stories from, hopefully, stories from Panama. And we'll have tales to tell from that. But in the meantime, don't forget to go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. Drop us a note, leave us a request, or ask us a question, and we'll be hopefully able to use that on the air in the future. So until next time, happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.